I'm Chris. You're about to enter a place of wonder, excitement, and discovery. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. Jimmy Barkley and adventure go together like a hand in a glove, and today is no exception. Only this time, it's an adventure from which there is no return. Find out what it is right after this.
Are you looking for stories that inspire, entertain, and ignite your imagination? Check out Adventures in Odyssey from Focus on the Family. Along the way, you'll meet our friends John Avery Whittaker, Connie Kendall, Eugene Meltzner, and Wooten Bassett in a world where faith, fun, and family are exciting pieces of every adventure. Whether you're solving mysteries, learning life lessons, or just having a great laugh, Adventures in Odyssey brings biblical values to every episode.
And now, the beginning of Jimmy's latest and greatest adventure.
Dear Journal, long time no write, eh? Well, I've been kind of busy since our vacation to Florida. 3 years ago. I know. That's no excuse. But I'm really happy to be writing in you again. For two reasons. One, I've decided I'm going to be a great actor when I grow up. And all great actors should keep journals. And two, a lot of strange things have been happening to me lately. And you're the only one I can really tell them to. By the way, sorry you ended up stuffed under my bed. You actually have Donna to thank for my finding you. If she hadn't complained about the smell of that old pizza box in my closet, then Mom wouldn't have made me scour my room, and you'd still be lost. Well, I guess Donna is good for something after all, which brings us to the first of those strange things I was talking about. See, even though Donna's always been a pain, she's never really bothered me all that much. Until now. Lately, she's really been getting on my nerves, like what she did a couple nights ago. I was in the bathroom getting cleaned up when she started pounding on the door.
Jimmy, other people have to get in there too, you know.
All right. Good grief. Can't a person have any privacy in this house? Entrez vous, Your Majesty.
It's about time. Jimmy, your face is bleeding.
I know. It's nothing. I'll just put some more toilet paper on it.
The trash can is full of bloody toilet paper. Jimmy, what happened?
Nothing. Will you please keep it down, please?
Rodney Rathbone punched you again, didn't he? I'm going to tell Mom.
No, Donna. No. Rodney Rathbone didn't punch me.
Then who did?
Nobody did. I just, cut myself. That's all. It's no big deal.
What do you mean you cut yourself? How could you cut yourself on the face?
I just did, okay?
Jimmy, were you shaving? You were, weren't you?
Well, what if I was?
Nothing, except why?
Because I needed it. Well, I did. Have you felt my upper lip lately?
No.
Well, if you did, then you'd know.
Know what? That you have some fuzz there? Instead of shaving, you should put a little cream on your face and let Ferguson lick it off.
Ha ha. Very funny.
Hey, Jimmy, next time, try shaving something with hair on it.
Try shaving something with hair on it. Fortunately, Donna kept her big mouth shut. And I'm really glad, too, because this would have been one more thing I couldn't or wouldn't want to explain to my parents. That's the second strange thing that's been happening to me lately. It's getting really tough to talk to and even be around my mom and my dad. Yesterday is a good example. The guys wanted to go to a movie, and Dad took me to the mall.
So, what movie are you guys gonna see?
Don't worry, Dad. It's rated G. I remember the rules. Well,
I wasn't worried, Jimmy. I just thought that if it's a good one, I might watch it with you.
You mean today?
Sure. Hey, there are the guys. Come on.
Dad!
What? What's the matter?
You're not gonna walk up with me there, are you?
Well, yeah. Why?
Because you can't.
Why not?
Because my friends are there.
That's all right, Jimmy. I know all your friends. We've done this 100 times before. Remember the
Dad,
time...
Dad! I don't want you to go.
I really wasn't in the mood for a movie today anyway. I think I'll just walk around the mall for a little while. Why don't I meet you at the car in a couple hours, okay?
Okay.
All right. See ya.
I knew I'd hurt him, and it made me feel bad. But if he'd gone in with me, I'd have felt a whole lot worse. And speaking of feeling bad, that's the third strange thing that's been happening to me. My body is falling apart, Journal. My face is all broken out. My chest is really sore, and I've had this weird throat cold for about 2 weeks now. Weird, because my throat isn't sore at all. But when I talk, my voice sounds like a cross between a frog with laryngitis and a country western singer. Of course, throat problems are just ducky for an aspiring actor. I'm in one of the booths at Wits End now, Journal. I explained it to you in an earlier entry. It's a really great place, owned and run by a really great guy, Mr. Whitaker. He's a writer and an inventor, and lots of other things, too. I'm sure if I could talk to him for a few minutes, he'd be able to explain all these strange things that have been happening to me. Maybe after we finish this play...
What kind of strange things?
Artie! Why were you reading my journal?
I wasn't reading it. I just walked up and saw the one sent over your shoulder, that's all.
Didn't anybody ever tell you it's rude to read over someone else's shoulder?
I'm sorry. So what kind of strange things have been happening to you?
Never mind.
Does one of them have to do with your voice?
No. Why?
Because it sounds kind of funny. Like a frog with laryngitis or a country western singer.
You have been reading my journal, haven't you?
No, I promise. How do you do that?
Do what?
Make your voice crack like that.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
That's even better than the goofy voice you did in math the other day. Do it again.
No.
That's great.
Artie.
Hey, you guys, keep it down.
I'd be more than happy to if you get rid of Mr. Laughing Hyena here.
You are right, Jimmy.
All right, Artie. What's so funny?
His voice, Connie. It's hilarious.
It is not.
Okay, Artie. That's enough.
But, Connie, he's always making us laugh. He's a funny guy.
Not this time, Artie. Look, Jimmy has a rehearsal for a play in a few minutes, and if you keep making him yell, he won't have any voice left at all.
Wow, a rehearsal? Can I watch?
No.
That's up to Wit, Artie. But right now, I think you should leave Jimmy alone.
Okay. Sorry, Jimmy. See you later.
Bye.
Don't let him get to you.
Thanks, Connie.
No problem. You just rest your voice. I'll go see if Wit's ready for you.
Sorry for the interruption, Journal. Those two were Artie Powell and Connie Kendall. Artie is a sometimes friend, sometimes royal pain. As far as Connie is concerned, well, she's one of the nicest people I know. And she's also part of the fourth strange thing that's been happening to me lately. See, I think about her a lot. I get a funny feeling in my stomach when she's around. And I don't know why. I sure don't like it. Well, I mean, I do like it, but I don't like it. I mean, I both like it and dislike it at the same time. Maybe I need to see a shrink or something.
Jimmy, Wit's ready for you now.
Okay. Thanks, Connie.
You're too much, Jimmy.
Oh, brother.
Okay, Jimmy, just say your lines like I told you, very lightly and fluidly.
Fluidly, right.
You still there, Connie?
Yes, sir.
Could you start the music tape, please?
Sure thing. Tape's rolling.
Thanks. Ready, Jimmy?
I was born ready.
Here we go.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon. Hark, she speaks.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, O Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. What's in a name? That to which we call a rose? By any other name would smell as sweet.
Connie, could you kill the music, please?
Yeah, sure.
What's the matter, Mr. Whitaker?
Well, I think we have a little problem, Jimmy. The only way this piece will work is if you have a consistent falsetto voice.
I think his voice sounds hilarious.
Artie, will you get out of here?
See what I mean?
Artie!
All right now. That's enough. Artie, you go on out to the soda fountain.
Well, Mr. Whitaker!
Now, please.
Mr. Whitaker, I just had this weird throat cold. I'm sure it'll clear up before the performance.
Well, that's doubtful, Jimmy, and I think we both know you have more than a little cold.
We do.
Well, for what it's worth, I thought it was cute.
We don't want cute, Connie. We want funny.
Artie was laughing.
Not that type of funny. We want the audience laughing with us, not at us.
But I don't mind, Mr. Whitaker. Really, I don't.
Well, I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I'm afraid we're going to have to get another Juliet.
Oh, man.
Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be in the show, though.
As what? A stagehand?
I was thinking more along the lines of Romeo.
Romeo?
Hey, that's a great idea. You'd make an excellent Romeo, Jimmy.
It's not as fun as Juliet.
Well, maybe not, but it's equally challenging in other ways.
Mr. Whitaker!
What is it, Artie?
Eugene said to tell you there's a phone call for you.
All right. Stay there, Artie. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
Listen, while I'm gone, why don't you two run through the balcony scene together, huh?
What do you say, Jimmy?
Well, all right.
Great. I'll go rewind the tape.
Work him hard, Connie. Remember, believability is the key. I'll be right back. This may just work out after all.
You ready, Jimmy?
I guess.
Here we go.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name.
Call me but love, and henceforth I will never be Romeo.
Oh, gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it faithfully. This bud of love, by summer's ripening breath, may prove a beauteous flower when next we meet. My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love is deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
Wow.
I hear some noise from within. Sweet Montague, be true. Jimmy.
Oh, blessed night. I am afeard all this is but a dream.
Romeo.
My dear.
Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow. That was really good, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'd play Juliet to your Romeo anytime, and I really mean that.
Yeah.
Listen, I better go see if Whit needs anything. I'll see you later, okay?
Okay. Journal, something incredible has just happened to me. I just discovered, hit me right out of the blue, that I'm in love with Connie Kendall.
Adventures in Odyssey will continue right after this.
Find out what's going on in other parts of Odyssey in the new Elsewhere in Odyssey comic strip.
You're serious?
Catch up with some long-lost characters with fully illustrated art.
What a sight.
And original stories.
Oh, right. For the good of the theater.
They've been here in town all along, but now you can read about what they've been up to.
You are not going to believe this.
Plus, new surprises wait around every turn.
It's nice to see you again.
Glossman!
The Elsewhere in Odyssey comic strip. A new weekly release only in the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Want to contact us about the episodes you're hearing? Visit our website at adventuresinodyssey.com or talk to someone at Focus on the Family. Call 1-800-A-FAMILY, with a parent's permission, of course. We always love hearing from you.
And now, back to the adventure.
I was just looking through some of the entries about the vacation when I started writing a new journal. Mrs. Adams, my then-teacher, was right. It does bring back a lot of great memories, despite the crude writings and all the misspellings. It was a fun vacation, I must admit. We haven't been back to Hopwood to see Chester and Grace since then. I wonder if Connie has ever been there. Maybe I can take her this summer sometime. I'm sure I'll have figured out a way to let her know how I feel about her by then. The only thing that's kept me going all day is the thought of seeing Connie. As Juliet says, my bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
Artie!
Oh, hi, Jimmy.
What did I tell you yesterday about reading my journal over my shoulder?
I wasn't reading your journal.
Don't give me that. You were saying just what I was writing.
You were writing Juliet's lines in your journal?
You know very well I was, because you were reading them.
I wasn't reading them. I was reciting them.
Oh, come on. Why would you be reciting Juliet?
Because I'm playing her in Mr. Whitaker's show.
You're what?
I'm playing Juliet in Mr. Whitaker's show. He asked me yesterday right after I told him about that phone call.
Do you know where Mr. Whitaker is now?
Yeah, he's in the little theater.
Thanks.
Hey, aren't you gonna congratulate me?
Mr. Whitaker! Mr. Whitaker!
Down front, Jimmy.
Is it true? Just tell me, is it really true?
Whoa, slow down. Is what true, Jimmy?
That you gave Juliet to Artie.
Well, yes, it is. I was going to tell you when you came into rehearsal today.
But why?
Well, I thought we went over this yesterday, Jimmy. We told you that for Juliet to work like we wanted it to work, we need a good, consistent falsetto voice. Artie has one.
But I'm known for my Juliet. I'm the one that made it famous.
Now, wait a minute. You're getting a little egotistical here, aren't you? This isn't a one-man show, Jimmy. Now, don't forget that the last time you did this, you had a partner who deserves just as much credit as you do.
But Artie. I mean, Artie.
Well, he's actually doing very well. And he tells everyone that he learned everything he knows from watching you.
He does?
Yes.
Well, that may be, Mr. Whitaker, but I still think I can play Juliet. My voice will be okay in time for the show.
Jimmy, let's be realistic. I know it's hard, but you're going to have to give it up. Everyone thinks you'll make a great Romeo, so let's get busy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Whitaker, but it's either Juliet or nothing.
Then I guess it's nothing, Jimmy.
All right. Fine.
Wow, that sounded pretty serious.
Yeah, I hated to do that, but I think he needed it.
I've never seen Jimmy act that way before. I wonder what's wrong with him.
Oh, I know exactly what's wrong with him. And when he's ready, we'll talk about it. Meanwhile, we have a show to put on, so why don't you find Artie and do a run-through with him while I try and round up another Romeo, huh?
Okay. Oh!
What?
Is this your notebook?
No. Jimmy must have dropped it.
Well, I'd better put it in the back for safekeeping.
Boy, what a heel Mr. Whitaker turned out to be. You just never know who your friends are, that's for sure. I should write this down. Oh, no. I left my journal in the little theater. What if Connie picks it up? Oh, great.
Ooh, this counter's a mess.
Connie!
Oh, hi, Jimmy.
You didn't happen to see a notebook laying around here, did you?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh, great. Connie, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Yes. I didn't want you to find out how I feel about you by reading it in my journal. I wanted to tell you that I love you. In person.
Well, Jimmy, I think you just did.
What do you mean?
Well, I put a notebook of yours in the back room, but I didn't know it was your journal.
You didn't read it?
No. It's private, Jimmy. I wouldn't read anything private.
Oh, no.
Jimmy, I really don't know what to say. Except that I'm really flattered and very honored. Do you want me to... You want me to go get your journal?
No. No.
Jimmy? Rats.
It's not your fault, Connie. Don't blame yourself.
You heard. Whit, I had no idea.
Oh, I know.
I should go talk to him.
No. I think I need to take it from here.
Boy, you really did it this time, Barkley. It's a good thing you've got this treehouse, because you're never going to be able to show your face in public again. Why did I ever start writing in that dumb journal again? If I ever get my hands on it, I'm going to burn it.
I think that'd be a mistake, Jimmy.
Oh, Mr. Whitaker.
From what I understand, you're a pretty good writer.
You haven't talked to my English comp teacher lately.
You know, it's been quite a while since I've been out here to Wonderworld. You mind if I come up?
Why not?
Be right up. Well, this place looks pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I hope it holds up, because it's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life.
Oh, Jimmy. I know you're not going to believe me, but things really aren't as bad as you think they are.
I don't know how they could get any worse. I'm fighting with my sister all the time. I can't really talk to my parents. My body is a wreck. I can't seem to think straight. I got mad at you, and I just made an idiot of myself in front of... Well, I'm sure she told you about it. I've never had problems like this before, Mr. Whitaker. I've never had feelings like this. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm going crazy.
Well, most people your age think that. Take it from me, Jimmy. But you're not going crazy. You see, you are going through adolescence, or at least you're starting to.
What's adolescence?
It's a fancy word for growing up. You see, God has planted this little organ in your brain called a pituitary gland, and he's locked up inside it all the changes you're going through now and all the changes you ever will go through. Well, right now, your pituitary gland is telling the other glands in your body that it's time to grow up. That's why your voice is acting the way it is.
And why my face is breaking out, my chest hurts?
That too.
Well, at least I know I'm not dying.
Well, no, you're not.
Is there any way to tell this gland to stop doing what it's doing?
I'm afraid not, Jimmy.
But I don't want this to happen, Mr. Whitaker. I want to go back to the way I was.
I know, but that's not how God planned it. You see, you're standing at the door of an incredible new adventure, Jimmy. And you're right. It's unlike anything you've ever gone through. That's scary, real scary. But the good news is there is something you can do to make it less frightening.
Like what?
Always remember that you're not alone. Now, that has a twofold meaning. First, it means that everyone your age feels the same way you do. No matter how cool or together they may seem on the outside, inside, they're just as scared and confused as you are. But second, and more importantly, you're not alone because you have Jesus. He's always with you. Even when everyone else has let you down, he'll still be there.
Mr. Whitaker, I'm sorry for the way I acted this afternoon.
Oh, it's all right, Jimmy. That's part of adolescence, too.
I don't know what I'm going to say to Connie.
I don't think you have to say anything to her. She understands.
Could you tell me some more about this adolescence stuff, Mr. Whitaker?
Yes, Jimmy, I can. You know what? I'll bet your father can, too. What say we go talk to him, huh? Oh, and let's go get your journal.
Well, journal, it looks like I'm going on another trip. Only instead of Hopwood, this time I'm going through a place called Adolescence. It's been a rough journey so far, but I have a feeling that the road is going to smooth out ahead. I'll keep you posted.
Somehow I think Jimmy's going to make it through this adventure okay. If you're starting to feel like Jimmy and you want someone to talk to, write to us here in Odyssey. The address is Odyssey, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. In Canada, write to Box 9800, Vancouver, BC, V6B4G3. Ask about how you can get a copy of today's broadcast. It's called Coming of Age. The address once again is Odyssey, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.